Good morning. What a joy it is to be here with you. I've been looking forward to this for some time. Pastor, thanks for letting me come. Brandy sends her love. She wished she could have been here as well. But I want to say thank you for letting me be here. Thank you for believing with us in Barcelona. Thank you for sending us Mark and Heather McKinstry. And Lindsay was there with us, if you know Lindsay. And just serving and loving on the people of Spain. And now we're excited to stand with them in Malaga as God's sending them to the south to continue working there. Thank you for your heart for mission. Thank you for what you believe is possible, for what you've always done, and for what you're going to be believing God to do. I don't know if you know this, but your pastor is not normal. I did not call you weird. Pastor Jerry, you are not a normal pastor. You have a heart that is global, that is generous, and that is full of faith to believe for God to show up here and to believe for God to show up around the world and investing in missional work that is changing lives every single week. So thank you for believing. Thank you. I know even in our story, you've been a part of projects in the past where we needed someone to stand up and say, we'll help get this going. And you were one of the first ones that said, we'll believe with you and invested in our ministry there to see God move. We're missionaries in Barcelona, Spain. My wife and I, Brandy, we've got three kiddos. Bella is 13 years old. Pray for me. Julia will be 9 this month, and John is 5. And we've been there 13 years, pastoring the International Church of Barcelona for the last 8.5 years. When we first went to Spain, we knew that it was a complicated place. If you know anything about Spain, less than 1% of the people there believe like you and I. It is a beautiful place. Barcelona's a fantastic city, about 5 million people in the metropolitan area, but it's dark and void. And we went there knowing that God was calling us, but we had no idea what it would mean because we had never been there before. And we had a promise. God had put on our heart a scripture from Isaiah 43:19, and it says this, you might know it. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? And I love that question. Don't you feel it? I'm going to make streams in the desert, rivers in the wasteland. And so we went full of faith, knowing that God was leading us to be there and expectant for what it would look like. Today, as we're looking at the story of what God's doing in Barcelona and listening to the leading of His Holy Spirit, I believe that there's an invitation to look back and celebrate what God has done all the years that you've been investing in mission, but to believe God for something new, to perceive where He's leading and to trust Him in a very old way and a very new way. Let's pray and then we'll chat. Jesus, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for the hope that comes from knowing you, and I thank you that you have never left us alone, but that you are with us. I thank you that you have always been at work when we feel it and when we don't. When we see it and when we don't, you're there. And I thank you that your call has never changed to come and follow you, to trust you, and to allow your Holy Spirit to work in us and then through us. Lord, I pray that if we're here today and we've known you for years, that you would take us deeper. If we're here today or listening online and we're new to the family, would you remind us that we're your sons and we're your daughters? But I know there's also many that are here wondering if you're real. If there's truth to all of this, I pray you would awaken something in heart and soul today that will be undeniable as we see you move. Guide our conversation. Speak to us all, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Have you ever been in a situation where you did not speak the language or understand what was happening around you? Anybody? Yeah, so many of us. If you've ever been in that situation, it is complicated and bizarre, right? I'm an outgoing person. I enjoy conversation. When we first went to Spain, I spoke no Spanish. Brandy is a missionary kid from Uruguay, South America, and actually you pray with and support financially her parents, my in-laws, Bob and Jennifer Frith in Uruguay, and she grew up there. So she spoke Spanish from the time she was like 4 or 5 years old. I did not. And so we were getting ready to go to Spain, and in Barcelona, they speak two languages, Spanish and Catalan. Catalan is a different language, an older language, maybe 30% bleed over into Spanish. And so Brandy said, listen, while you're studying Spanish, I'm going to study and learn Catalan. And she did. She and our kids speak English, Spanish, and Catalan fluently. But then she also lied. And I've forgiven her, and she has not repented. She said she didn't lie, but whatever. Two lies. And she said, I will translate for you for 3 months. She translated for me for 3 days. And then we went to a local church there in Tarragona, an hour south of Barcelona. And we went there, Brandy, me, and our 10-month-old baby. We just sold everything we owned and moved across the world. And I started language school that week. 10 months, 3 hours a day, one-on-one classes. But I was just getting started. And so on the way over on the plane, I thought, you know what? I know what I'll do. I'm going to learn some survival Spanish. So when I get there, I'm not totally lost. And so I'm going to teach you survival Spanish to help you along your journey. You're welcome. The words were these. Yes, which is sí. Well done. No, which is no. That's my favorite. Interesting. Interesante. No me digas. You don't say. And wow, which translates into every language. And so we get there, and I'm in this church service, and Brandy is like the extreme extrovert, and she's never met a stranger, and she wants to meet everyone. And if she were here, she would meet all of you and remember your names. And she goes, John, I'm going to go meet some new friends. Takes off. And I'm standing there and I think, oh no, my translator just abandoned me. I speak like 4 words in Spanish. I just taught you them. And so I thought, you know what, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick up our 10-month-old and I'm going to hold Bella because then I'll be like, I would come talk to you, but I got this baby, you know, buffer baby. And so I'm holding Bella, and most people look at me like, oh, hey, he's got a baby. Also, they probably knew I didn't speak Spanish. But one guy decides, I'm going to go talk to John. And he makes a beeline towards me, and I had this moment where I kind of froze, and I thought, I've got two options. I can turn and run, which I considered, or I can use my survival Spanish. And so he came up and started talking to me in Spanish, and he said, hola, John. Which I knew meant hello, John, because I recognized my name. And then he speaks to me in Spanish. Now, if you speak Spanish or have ever spoken to anyone in Spanish, there is one speed to speak Spanish. It is 732 miles an hour. And he launches in. He's like, hola, John. And I heard. And I just said, you know what? Let's just do this. I was like, wow. Claro, sure. No me digas. Interesante. You know, I read his verbal postures. When he laughed, I laughed. He started crying. I got quiet. At the end, he gives me a bear hug, leaves with tears in his eyes. I took our 10-month-old Bella at the time. I went straight to the car to get a breath. Thank you, Speed the Light, for a safe place. I'm sitting in the car. Brandy comes outside, and she's like, hey, I saw you talking to so-and-so. I said, we communicated. She said, what did he say? I said, I have no idea. She said, no, come on, you can do better than that. What did he say? And she's got this huge smile, this spark in her eyes, and I said, it was either something about his mom or a goat. I have no idea. And she said, John, you can't do that. He came to me with tears in his eyes saying, you guys had a moment, and that you would fill me in on what he was talking about. To this day, he does not believe. I have no idea what we talked about. He still will say, come on, you understood, you just didn't speak. And I was like, let's go with that part. Moved then after that year to Barcelona. And we knew that God was leading us to begin there with a young adult university ministry. The church in Spain is complicated. It has a bad past because of the dictator Franco, who was there until 75, that forced the Catholic Church on the people there. It was all about money and manipulation and power and greed. And so when he died in 75, the people said, we want nothing to do with God, church, religion, none of it. And so we come and we moved to the city, but we knew that God had called us to be there, and we were excited because how many of you know you got to come to a place where you know who you're not but who God is? And I know that's easy to say and hard to live out, but we said, God, we know this isn't about us, it's about you. We got there, and a friend, now a friend, at the time I had only met him once, been in Spain for 40-something years, married to a Spaniard, came to Barcelona to do our orientation for us. And he sat with us for hours talking about what the city was like, the history, the realities of the culture, and what people would respond to or not respond to. And it was a great time until the end. And he was leaving our house. He was walking out the door. And he stops and he goes, listen, one last thing before I go. And of course, I'm going, speak, anything, tell me. And he looks at me and he says, listen, don't get your hopes up. I thought he was joking, right? I was like, come on, punchline. No punchline. He says, don't get your hopes up. Look, they don't care why you're here. They don't care who God is. They don't care what it is you're here to tell them about or what God wants to do in their life. They're never going to invite you to a calzotada. If you're wondering what that is, I was too. It's a barbecue they do with their close family and friends in our part of Spain where they go out of the city to the country, invite the closest ones to them, grill these large, like, green onion things called calzots. They char them, then they rip them out from the middle, dip them in a secret sauce, and eat them from the air. And for whatever reason, he said, they'll never invite you to one of those. Just do what you can. Don't get your hopes up. He leaves, close the door. I look at my wife, and Brandy says to me, worst orientation ever. Like, what was that? We prayed, and we said, God, what do we do with that? And the Holy Spirit just touched our heart and said, look, I build my church. You love people and do what you're told. And I said, okay, we can love people, and we can try and do what we're told. Holy Spirit Jr., Brandy, will keep us on track for that part. And so we went into our new building, into this apartment, and we tried to begin making friends. And Brandy originally is from Mississippi. Any Mississippians in the house? No. There was one at the last service, no one in the morning. And so she's just got this bubbly, outgoing personality, very warm and friendly. Bella is a super rock star, and I'm relatively nice. And so we're sitting there trying to meet our friends in this building, and we're like, hi, we're your new neighbors. And they would look at us and literally go, like, why are you talking to me? And they would just turn and walk the other way. And Brandy got really frustrated. She started getting angry. You ever get angry about something, but for the right reason? If it's for the wrong reason, do not raise your hand. And she said, John, I've never had such a hard time making friends. And I said, I know, I've been married to you. This year we celebrated 18 years married, 21 together. I said, I know. And she said, but here's what we're going to do. We are going to make this happen. And I said, yes, we are. What do you have in mind? She said, it's around Christmas. Yeah. We're going to go door to door. We're going to meet every person in this building. We're going to give them brownies, and we're going to make them talk to us. So we did. We made brownies. And Brandy and Bella went door to door. I stayed back to pray and intercede. I'm kidding. I went too. We went door to door, met every neighbor, and Brandy was like, hey, we're your neighbors. Here's something for you, just some goodies. And if you need someone to carry your groceries, John is strong. Within 1 week, all but one neighbor had come back with a gift or a toy or something to reciprocate the kindness that was shown. And about a week after that, I'm standing at the ATM machine, and the ATMs in Barcelona are quite advanced. You can pull out money, that would have been nice, or you can do what I was doing, pay bills, or buy soccer tickets, that would have been cool too. I'm standing at the ATM, and you ever been in an ATM, and someone is like way too close to you? You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, there's a personal space. That personal space is much smaller in Spain, but it still exists. And I'm standing at the ATM, and someone is way too close to me, so I do the only thing that makes sense. You know, I shuffle forward. And when I did, they pressed in as well. And immediately I thought, okay, shields up. Here we go. It's on. And so I spin around really quickly, and there's this little old grandma standing behind me with her cane. And she's like, oh, John, I didn't mean to scare you. Of course, I was like, nah, girl, you didn't scare me. I always wet myself at the ATM. But she knew my name. She said, John, I'm your neighbor. I live above you. And I said, yeah, I recognize you from the building. She's never talked to me before, but now she knows my name, and she's approaching me on the street. And she says, I just wanted to say thank you for, were they called brownies? I said, yeah, they're called brownies. She said, tell your wife I said thank you. She said, but I have a question. I said, sure. And she said, is that normal where you're from? And I said, yeah, people eat a lot of brownies where I'm from. And she goes, no, 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 not the brownies. Doing something for someone you don't know. Knocking on the door and offering to help and to be kind to someone you don't have a relationship with. Is that normal where you're from? And I said, well, it depends on where you live, maybe. I said, why do you ask? I'll never forget what she said next. She said, John, I've lived in that building for 62 years. She was 342 years old. I'm joking. She was 341. And she said, I've lived in that building 62 years. She said, in 62 years, no one has ever done anything like that for me before. See, for us, it was, we're going to make this happen. We're going to connect with our neighbors. For her, it was like this act of kindness and generosity that in 62 years, no one had ever done. sometimes I think we complicate the gospel too much. Sometimes I think we try and make excuses of why it's not going to happen, and sometimes the most simple things will open the most profound doors. I went home and I told my wife and I said, "You will not believe what happened," and I wept in our living room that night. And the Holy Spirit again spoke to me and he said, "John, they may be cold-hearted. They may be closed off. They may want nothing to do with why you're here or who I am, but there is one thing they cannot fight, and it's my love when shown in an authentic way. It will break down walls, it will open doors, and it will change lives. Show my love." And that's what we've tried to do from that moment till now. By the way, at the end of that year, we had been invited to 7 of those casadas. And every year since, we've been invited to connect in deep and intimate ways with people that have come to know Jesus Christ. We began our ministry there in this tiny downtown apartment. I was laughing earlier, like our living room was much smaller than the stage I'm on. And we began to invite people around town, the subway, the metro, and say, "You should come to our house. We're going to talk about God and church and religion and being a young adult, and we're going to have brownies." Did we mention the brownies? Like, maybe they're just magic. They kind of are. And we said, "We're going to do this at our home, and if you want to come, come." Now, you have to understand, church in Spain is almost non-existent. If you go to a church and they've got 100 people at church, they think it's a really big church. If there's a church of 200, it's like a mega church in Spain. And so we said, "You know what, let's just see what happens." And we thought, "We're going to start this ministry. We'll start late, 7:30 at night." That's not late in Spain. My favorite restaurant opens at 8:30, you know what I'm saying? No one comes till 9. But we didn't know that at the time. We just moved from the States, and we thought 7:30 was late. And so 7:30 came and went. No one came. About 9 o'clock, the doorbell rang for the first time. And a guy said, "Hey, I just got off work. Is it cool if I still come?" We said, "Put the brownies back out." 18 young adults showed up to our downtown apartment. One had been a part of a church for a small season of their life. Everyone else had never stepped foot in the doors of a church. One gal says to me, "Is it cool if I come?" And I said, "Yes. Why do you ask?" She said, "Well, technically, I'm studying and training right now to become a Buddhist, but I've never been around people where I sense this kind of love. Is it cool if I keep coming?" We said, "Absolutely." Another guy I was talking to, I said, "Man, have you ever been a part of something like this before?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Really? Tell me about it." He said, "Well, yeah, the whole time I was in university, I was part of a fraternity." I said, "It's basically the same thing. Just keep coming." We saw people coming and connecting, giving their life to Jesus. We were doing baptisms in the ocean, which was incredibly cold, but incredibly beautiful. Within 3 months, we had 48 young adults packed into our tiny downtown apartment, and we had to move to 3 different locations. And I think there's a picture of our third location where we started connecting together and people just knowing Jesus and finding hope in him for the first time. And then it was around that time that we were invited to begin pastoring the International Church of Barcelona. We had said no for several years. And then finally, the Holy Spirit said, "Why do you keep saying no? This is my plan." And so we said, "Okay, if it's your plan, then yes. But I don't know what to do. I've never been a lead pastor." And he said, "I told you a couple years ago, just love people, do what you're told." I said, "Okay, good reminder. I will love people and do what we're told." We began there working in the heart of Barcelona, where we are now. Pastor Jerry has preached there. And just a beautiful time of connecting with the city. We have these huge wooden doors at the front of the church. And one day I was walking up to church, and I just had this sense, leave the doors open. Now, we don't have air conditioning in our entryway or lobby, so we're not wasting electricity. Pray for us. But we let the doors open, and I'll never forget, one day I'm standing in the entryway of the church, and a 2-year-old boy runs in as fast as he can off the street. I'd never seen him before. He just runs in and stands right next to me. Behind him comes his mother running after him, and she's apologizing the whole time. "I'm so sorry that my son ran into this place." She said, "I'm from the neighborhood. I've never been in here." And she hears worship music playing in the sanctuary, and she says, "Is this a concert?" And I said, "Basically." Brandy elbowed me. "No, it's a church." And she says, "Oh, okay, cool." She said, "I've seen people coming in and out of here, but I've never been. But I didn't get tickets, so maybe one day I'll come back when I can get some tickets and see what's going on." And I said, "I have some extra tickets today." Brandy didn't think that was funny either. And you're always ruining my jokes, Brandy. She said, "Well, I can't stay because my son, he doesn't want to be away from me. He always has to be with me." And I said, "Well, we have something for kids upstairs where they can sing and dance and have fun, and we'll pump them full of candy before we send them home." And she said, "He won't go." And she bent over and looked at him and said, "Do you want to go upstairs and be with the other kids?" And he said, "Yes." He went up, stayed the whole time. She came, sat by Brandy, crying the entire time, gave her life to Jesus. At the end of the gathering, and said, that's the story I've been waiting my whole life to hear. Friends, I believe that the Holy Spirit can put it on the heart of a two-year-old boy to run in the doors of a church to change the future of an entire family. Do not underestimate what seems to be something small in your daily life where God's calling you just to step in and be available. Because he's the one that's at work. I had other friends that started coming. Emma was a part of our church for years, and she started coming because her friend, her roommate said, I'm going to church. She said, people still do that? She comes from an atheist family, and she wasn't allowed to go to church as a kid, and she went with her friend, gave her life to Jesus. Her family said, then don't come home. She started getting involved and just sold out for Jesus. She was in law school. And one day came to me and said, hey, I had this idea that I haven't been able. That's Mary Chell, the mom that ran in after her son. I haven't been able to get this off my mind. I really think we're supposed to do something at my secular university where we tell people about Jesus. And I said, well, that's complicated because they don't open doors like that here. She goes, yeah, I thought that too. So I asked them and they said, yes. I said, tell me more. She said, I was talking to my professor of humanities, of cultural studies, and I told him that I go to church and that's really cool what God's done in my life. And he said, well, maybe we should do a seminar for the sake of cultural exploration. And you can have someone from your community come and share about what this is all about. I said, so let me get this straight. He asked us to come and preach the gospel. She said, yes. And so we came and we preached like Genesis to Revelation and back again, the Roman road, some tangents to other cities, back to Rome. Preach the gospel. And at the end of the time with 150 students that have never heard Jesus and his love preached, he said, you know what you should do to help out and really enhance this cultural experience? You should give everyone a Bible. Thank you, Light for the Lost, for the Bibles that we handed out that day. And I said, if you're sure. He said, yeah, I think they should read more to be able to supplement what they've learned today. And he asked us to put the Word of God into 150 students' hands. So many of them got it and said, I've never seen a Bible. I've never touched a Bible. How could that be, John? We don't have Walmart or a bookstore. I love your bookstore. I was in there this morning. They got the Bible for the first time in their lives. On fire and passionate what God was doing in her life, she just keeps telling people about Jesus. Albert. There's a friend of mine who's in his early 70s. He had gone to church 43 years ago and got his brains kicked in, had a horrible experience, swore he would never go back to church and would never trust anyone who did. But his wife loved Jesus and kept going. Brought the kids with her, got connected. They started coming to our church about 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And she kept saying, you should come. I think you'll like it. And he said, I'm not going. You know I don't do that. But you do what you want to do. The kids can go with you. They're adults. They can go where they want to go. Finally, they kept asking and asking and asking until one day he said, mujer, which means woman. Sounds way worse in English than in Spanish. At least in Spain. I don't know about where you're from. He said, mujer, I'll go with you one time if you just leave me alone. So he comes with her, listening to translation in headphones because the service he was in was in English and has been there every week for the last 4.5 years. Gave his life to Jesus Christ. I had the privilege of baptizing him. And then he came to me and said, Jesus has changed my life. This was right after he was baptized. Albert and Damaris. He said, Jesus has changed my life. He said, but for 43 years, I've also not been the best husband. He said, could you do my vows again? And can I renew my vows with my wife? And she said, man, from that moment, he's been a different man. Jesus is working. Over and over and over again, we see people coming to find hope in Jesus Christ in a place where they say it's impossible. Don't get your hopes up. Every single week, in every single gathering that we've had for 8.5 years, people have come to know Jesus or found a fresh start in him. We have a vibrant community of faith of more than 95 different nationalities that come together. It is crazy and beautiful all at the same time. One day, Nicole, a girl who's on our team, came to me and said, hey, John, I was in a coffee shop this morning and I had this conversation with this girl that asked me a question I didn't know how to answer. I said, what? She said, well, we started talking. And she said, hey, what do you do here? She said, I work with the International Church. And she said, what is that? Where is that? She said, well, it's on the same sidewalk, one block up on the left. And she said, it's a community of faith. It's a church. And she said, really? She said, I've never been to church. I don't believe in God. But my grandmother told me that I should have a Catholic priest come and bless my coffee shop before I open. She said, I emailed four of them and no one wrote me back. Do you think your priest? Not that funny. Just kidding. Do you think your priest would come and would bless my coffee shop? She said, John's not really a priest. You know what? I'll ask him. So she came and told me this story, and I said, listen, you know how I feel. With Jesus and coffee, all things are possible. Tell her we'll do it. Also just Jesus, but whatever. And so I said, tell her we'll do it, but tell her that Amazon sold out of the smoke, and so we'll have to do it our own way. She said, I won't tell her that, but I'll tell her we'll come. We went down there with like 10 people from the church. First time I ever met her, I came into the coffee shop and said, hey, it's so good to meet you. I said, we're going to bless this coffee shop. Now, she's an atheist. She doesn't have a relationship with God. And I said, we're going to bless this coffee shop. We're going to pray that the Holy Spirit will fill this place, that his peace and his joy and his love will be sensed by every person who walks in this place, that it will be a beacon and a point of light in this city, and that everyone who comes here will know they've had an experience with Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. She starts bawling. She said, I don't even know what that means, but it sounds so beautiful. Let's pray for it. Let's do it. So we prayed. Someone asked me not long ago, John, why would you bless and pray that the Holy Spirit would fill and bless the coffee shop of someone who doesn't even believe he exists? I said, oh, because I believe that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Because I believe that we can speak life into situations long before she professes the name of Jesus and he is calling and chasing after her to welcome her home. We were leaving and she said, look, I always work on Sundays, but if I ever have the chance, I'd love to come see what church is all about. But thanks for coming. I met everyone by coffee to be a good witness. We went on our way. 2-3 weeks later, in our 6 p.m. gathering, she showed up. She walked in and we were like, what are you doing here, Griselle? It's so good to see you. She said, well, my coffee machine broke and I thought I could fix it or I could go see what church is all about. So I closed the shop and I came to see what church is all about. I said, well, so good to have you here. She cried the entire time. She cried through worship. She cried in prayer. She cried during the announcements. You know, I was like, so moving. We have a potluck dinner, you know. She cried throughout the entire message, and at the end, she gave her life to Christ. She said, that's the story I've been waiting to hear my whole life. 2 weeks later, she brought her mom back, her brother, her sister-in-law, her family connecting, and we began to see everything that we had spoken in faith beforehand, that we had prayed over that coffee shop, begin to take place. And it became a point where people would connect and pray and believe and invite their friends. And the peace and the hope of Jesus was tangible in that place. And then she met Ernesto, a boy. And she started coming a little less to church. And we were talking and we said, what's going on? She said, I still love Jesus. I want to be there. But he doesn't believe in God and wants nothing to do with it. She said, but if you happen to need coffee on Tuesday at 3, he's going to be at the coffee shop. I'd like for him to meet you. I thought, you know what? It's actually, I have it on my calendar. Get coffee at 3 o'clock on Tuesday. I'll see you there. Also every Tuesday and every day at 3. But went by and met Ernesto, and he had grown up in a home that was complicated. He had gone to a Christian Catholic school and had heard all about God but wanted nothing to do with him. And he said, it's cool that she wants to come, but I don't want anything to do with it. But then he asked her to marry him, and she said, the only way I'll marry you is if John and Brandy do the ceremony. And the only way they're going to do the ceremony is if you do premarital counseling with them in their home. And he said, premarital counseling? Nothing's even wrong yet. We're not even married. You want to go to counseling? She said, take it or leave it. He said, okay, I take it. Came to our home and began to meet with them. 3 weeks in, 1 o'clock in the morning, Brandy's long in bed. We're talking. He's asking questions like crazy about God and what it means. And at the end of our time, he threw his arms around my neck and said, I believe God brought you into my life for a reason. God, who did not exist 3 weeks before, now connected us on this journey. He started coming to church. He wouldn't go into church, but he would come and stand at the glass doors by the sanctuary and just look in. I said, you know, you could come inside if you want. He said, I'm good here. A couple weeks later, he was on the inside of the door. A couple weeks later, he was on the back row. Then he started moving forward. Then he started serving and picking up trash. And someone said, is he allowed to serve? He doesn't know Jesus yet. I said, you do not need special qualifications or redemption to pick up trash. All are welcome. And I'll never forget the week he came and said, when you gave the invitation, I raised my hand to give my life to Jesus Christ. He started attending with his wife, the community group with Mark and Heather. And they would go every week and they would pour into their lives and help disciple them and shape and fashion them. And they got so excited. He came one day, he said, I want to get baptized. I'll never forget his testimony. I didn't know the totality of it before he gave it that day. And we're standing there together in the freezing Arctic cold water that someone gave us. And he said, a couple years ago, I was about to leave this city. He said, I'm from the South and I wanted to go home. I wanted to go back to where my family was. And so I packed all my things in the car. I was tired of the city. I was tired of not having close friendships. And I said, I'm going home. So I started driving, and about an hour south of the city, I called my mom and said, hey, Mom, I'm coming home. And she said, well, you know, your dad's been in and out of the hospital this week. And honestly, it would really be helpful if you gave us like one more week so I could focus on him and then focus on you. He said, I pulled the car over to the side of the road, and he said, and I got angry. Even my mom won't let me come home. He said, I turned the car around, went back to the city. I said, I'll give it one more week. He said, it was that week I met my wife, who introduced me to John and Brandy and Mark and Heather, who introduced me to Jesus. And he said, here's what I've come to understand, that even when you don't believe God exists, he is with you. And he said, and here's what I know, God stopped me. God stopped me on that road. He turned me around, sent me back to Barcelona so I'd meet my wife and meet Jesus Christ. Friends, he's working. He is moving. It's a new season. Can't you perceive it? Don't you feel it? He's inviting us to step into this season and trust him, remembering what he's done and his faithfulness, looking back and in faith looking forward. Began to have other meetings with other Spaniards. I had this meeting with a guy named Josue, who is from Catalonia. He said, I want to meet with you and talk about the fact that people are coming to know Jesus. He said, is it true they're coming to know Jesus every week? I said, yes. He said, we got to talk about this because I grew up here and this is not normal. And I said, well, hopefully it will be. And we began to talk. We met in this coffee shop. And as we sat there, there were eight men in this coffee shop. A dude coffee shop, you know. All the ladies must have been at brunch. I don't know. We're sitting there talking, and right when we begin to celebrate the goodness of God, what he's doing, what we've seen, and I'm getting really excited. There's a guy sitting at the counter, a good hipster with the handlebar mustache, drinking his espresso. And what, as I can only describe as a mountain of a man that looked like what you would think in a movie as the typical Russian enforcer for a mob, walks in the door, about 6'4", 6'5", 280, bald head, looked like he would hurt everyone, and he did. He walked in, and he walked up to the man behind the counter, and he bumped him with his chest. Doop. You remember me? And the guy's like, nope. Mm-mm. Bumps him again. Boom. Yeah, you know me. You remember me. He goes, bro, I don't know you, and you need to probably, like, leave, because I don't know you. He takes his sunglasses off his head, throws them on the ground, stomps them. Took his backpack, threw it outside, then picked him up in the air, threw him on the ground, and began to pummel him on the ground. And no one moves. The entire place sits there and kind of pulls their espresso and their computers, and we're like, oh no. And I just had this sense, we got to do something. Now, gratefully, I trained for years to be a ninja. It's not that funny. he's like, not that guy. Whatever, man. No, I have not. I have no training, but I knew I couldn't just sit there. And so I thought, God, you're going to have to help, because this is not how I want to come and meet you. You know what I'm saying? I got up and I said, whoa, stop. And I reached out to grab the guy by the shoulder. And right then I saw another man running in the coffee shop. And I thought, oh, thank God, reinforcements. Someone's coming to help. And he was, but he was coming to help that guy, not me. And he ran and punched me with a flying punch in the chest so hard it knocked me back in the seat I was in, knocked the breath out of me. And by the time I caught my breath and stood back up, they ran outside, jumped in a taxi, and took off. I go outside, and this little lady walks up, and she's like, hey, are you the guy that just got punched? I was like, no. Maybe. she's like, I got a picture of the taxi on my cell phone. I said, that's amazing. You have a cell phone. Look, I'm not saying that stepping into the moments God's calling you into don't come with a sucker punch sometimes. I'm not saying it's always easy. I had a friend of mine say, man, I'm so glad he punched you. And I said, that's rude. He said, yeah, he could have stabbed you. I said, oh, thank you, Lord, for the punch. You know? I'm not saying it won't be complicated. I'm not saying there's not things you have to get over or move past or surrender to God. But he is calling us to stop sitting back and watching life happen around us, but to step up and step into the moments he's put in front of us. Show his love however and whenever he calls us to. He didn't say life would be easy. He said he'd be with us. Brandy got invited to speak at a women's event, and it was a women's event at a friend's house. She had a garden, which was rare for where we live. And she said, I want you to come and do this event. I've invited a bunch of ladies. I think we're going to have at least 15 or 20 women there. And she was so excited. Brandy went there that night, and there were 85 women showed up. But her garden isn't that big, and so she said, listen, we don't have a lot of room. We don't have a sound system or microphone, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take this planter, and we're going to turn it upside down, put it against the wall at the end. You're going to stand on the pot on this planter, and you're just going to preach. And Brandy was like, you know what? Sure, take off the heels, hop on the planter, you know? Gets up on this planter and just preaches the word, top of her lungs, talks about a God of hope and love that comes in the worst moments of your life and brings hope and restoration. It was a great night. Several women gave their life to Christ. They prayed together, cried together. You know, beautiful women ministry things. A week later, she gets a phone call from our friend who had invited her to be there. I need to talk to you right now. Okay, I'm available. Not on the phone. Come to my store. She has a fruit and vegetable store. So Brandy went to her store and she said, what's going on? She said, the woman who lives next door to me just came over and talked to me and said, I need to talk to you. And she tells her this story of what happened. The day that they had the women's event, this woman had been in her house next door. They've been friends for years. And our friend had been trying to witness and share her story with her. And finally, her friend got mad and said, look, I know you love Jesus and church and all that stuff. Stop talking to me about it. I could not care less. I don't want to hear it. If you want to be my friend, leave it. So she said, for the sake of friendship, I tried to just show the love of Jesus versus talking about it. But on that particular day when they had the women's event, she was in her home on the second floor, and her mom, who was elderly, was downstairs sitting by the pool, and she has no idea how or when or what happened, but her mom fell in the pool and drowned. She found her there, rushed her to the hospital. It was too late. She was gone. She came home that night after having taken care of all the things she had to do at the hospital, and she was just obviously broken. Walks into her home there in the garden area, sees the chair her mother had been in earlier that day, and just collapses on the chair, begins to weep. And she said, for whatever reason, I felt so lost and so empty and so desperate. Even though I don't believe in God, I just said, God, if you're real, I'm pretty sure these are the moments that people say you show up. And if you can, if you do, you've got to do something. She said, right then, I hear the voice of a woman on the other side of the wall screaming on the top of her lungs about a God that shows up in the darkest moments of life and brings hope and restoration and peace and changes everything. She said, I don't know why she was screaming. She said, and then she said, if you want to know that God, pray with me now. She said, my mouth uttered the words she was saying. She said, I still am in so much pain. I still have no idea what the future holds, but can you just tell that girl, thank you, because I gave my life to Jesus that night. I don't know what your life looks like. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know the pain and tragedy and complication you've been walking through. I know some of your stories. Some of you know ours. The things that we fought through in Barcelona, my wife's journey through cancer this last 2 years, on and on and on. I don't know, but I know that God has you where you are for a reason. And I know he's doing something new. Can't you feel it? And he's inviting us not to sit back and just watch life pass us by, but his same call that he's always given is still true. Come and follow me. And he's inviting us to step up and step out wherever he has placed us. Because here's what I know, on the other side of the wall, there's someone that is desperate and looking and searching. In your job, there's someone on the other side of the wall. In your family, there's someone sitting on the other side of the wall. In the coffee shop you go to, in the store that you find yourself, wherever you go on a regular basis, you think you're just doing life, but he's called you to be on mission, and there's someone waiting for us to give brownies, for us to step into a moment where we will open our mouths and open our lives and say, I don't have what it takes, but I know who does. I want to pray. I want to pray that we would have a moment of surrender. But I want you to do this. I want us to close our eyes and bow our heads for just a minute. Before I pray a prayer blessing and call to action for us. First, I want to ask this question. Pastor Jerry and Pastor Tonto said I could. Maybe you're here today or connected online and you would say, John, you know what? I'm not a follower of Jesus. Maybe you've never made the decision to ask Christ into your life to forgive you of your sins in the past. The Bible tells us Jesus came at just the right time. He stepped into human history. He lived, died, and rose again to redeem you and I. And the Bible says he lives and intercedes. He fights on our behalf. And if we come to him, he gives us a way home, a way to be made whole, to live a life of hope and meaning and purpose in this world, and then hope and life beyond. It does not mean today that you've got all the answers. I know you've got questions. That's okay. What it means is that you're saying, I want to take that first step to put my trust in Jesus. And then beyond that, the team here at Oak Creek want to walk with you and help with the questions that will come. But if that's you and you say, I want to ask Jesus into my life for the first time, I want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here, maybe you're connected, and you say, John, you know what? I used to be a follower of Jesus. Maybe like some people still think you are. But if you're honest today, you would say, it's been a long time since I actually lived for Christ. And maybe today you would say, I could really use a fresh start, a new beginning, a second chance, a do-over. If that's you, I've got great news. Jesus is waiting with arms wide open to welcome you home. Look, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm going to believe with you right where you are. So I want everyone to close your eyes, everyone to bow your heads. The band is bowing their heads too. No one's looking but you, me, and Jesus. If that's you and you say, John, I want to ask Jesus into my heart for the first time. Or John, I need a fresh start today. Right where you are, would you raise your hand so I can pray with you? I need a fresh start. Yeah, I see you. Who else? Yes, I see you. Yes, I see you. Yes, yes. Yes, I see you. I see you. Yes, I see you. Yes, I see you. I see you too. I see you too. I see you. Who else? I need a fresh start. Yeah, I see you. Who else? I need a fresh start, John. I want this to be a before and after moment. I want to step into those moments. I see you. Yes. All right, let's do this. So many hands. We don't pray alone. We're a family. So I want us all to pray this prayer to support those who raise their hands. Pray with me now. Lord Jesus, I need you. Forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for the past. Come into my heart. I accept you as the Son of God. Give me a fresh start. Give me hope and a bright future. Life here and eternal. Now, friends, the Bible says if you ask Christ to come in, that he does. It says the old has gone, the new has come, and you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. So if you prayed that, meant it with all your heart, congratulations. Welcome home. Welcome to the family. Look, if you made that decision today, do not walk alone. You are made to do life in community and connected. See Pastor Jerry. See Pastor Tonto, Pastor Steve, one of the team, one of the prayer partners. Whatever you're walking through, this church is ready and wanting to walk with you and help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. But welcome home.